Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. We're trying to get the donation drive for Saints Drunk History. We have only 18 donations, people. If you want Drunk Saints History Season 2, you got to donate $20. Click on the button. Do it. We have awesome topics like 2006 season, 2008 season, why we hated Jim Haslett. I have 12 fantastic topics, plus players' careers like Bobby Hebert, Will Smith. It's going to be great. You need to do it. Anyway, Drunk Saints.
Have we done Dalton Hilliard yet?
We have not. We need to do him. We might do him.
I'm calling dibs on that
one. So, by the way, Atlanta's winning 17-7. The Saints are just going to have to do it themselves. People are just
There's no way the Bucks are going to beat these guys.
No, the Bucks.
They look like shit.
The Bucks look. I mean, they're moving the ball, but they just, you know, they're the Bucks.
The only thing we can root for at this point is one DeSean Jackson catch, which will put me in the fantasy Super Bowl for one of my leagues, and then some Falcons injuries.
Yeah. Man, yeah, I know. You're a horrible person. I can't root. I can't root for injuries.
Look, here's the thing. It's not that I'm rooting for injuries. Like, they're going to happen. It's like fool's gold saying, man, I hope no one gets injured. It's football. People are going to get injured. So it's all about timing. And, I mean, if there's going to be a timing thing, I'd rather be favorable to the Saints when
people die every day, man. People die every day.
That's right. I don't know these guys, you know. They're not my friends.
So the Saints handled their business yesterday, winning 31-19 in
barely.
Dave, I would say it's probably their worst performance since the Chicago game. They kind of looked, I mean, I wouldn't say like total trash because they did score 31 and they did win, but I mean, it was pretty. I mean, it was bumpy.
You don't think the Falcons' performance was horrible?
No, because at least the Falcons game, they didn't turn the ball over three times and have a bunch of Well, they did have a shit ton of penalties against the Falcons, but I just felt like overall they played better against the Falcons. At least maybe less sloppy. Let's say, is that fair? Mm-hmm. But Dave, your initial impressions as you watch the game and after, because I admit, like in the third quarter, I was getting really dark. I was thinking they were going to lose because they were getting touchdowns overturned. They were fumbling multiple times in the red zone. Like I won't lie. I was drinking a lot and I panicked and I thought they were going to lose.
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, this is the Saints, so no game is ever over until it's over. Just the turnovers. I mean, you know, the two Brandon Coleman fumbles,
which he'd never ever in his career, by the way.
Never. He's never.
Is that accurate?
Yes, he'd never. He'd never fumbled before.
Wow.
Not that he'd played a ton, but you know.
Right. Yeah. Not that he's got a ton of receptions, but you know, I mean, you take those two fumbles away, and the game is totally different. You take those two fumbles away, and this is a dominating. 38-17 point win that covers the ridiculous 16 point spread. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Coleman fumbled once. I think the Jets scored off the. No, actually, they didn't. The Jets never scored off of any of them.
They just got a field goal off the Breeze interception, but that was it. Yeah.
I mean, fortunately, the defense came up big after both those fumbles, and I think they were both three and outs after those two fumbles. If not, they were short drives for sure. And I mean, and both of those fumbles were, you know, deep in Jets territory, you know, 30, 35 yard line. And you take away those fumbles and the Panthers, Jesus. And the Saints have the ball practically in the red zone ready to score again. So, you know, other than that, the defense played well. Defense came up big when they needed to come up big. The offense, again, the offense was moving the ball pretty well. Mark Ingram obviously had the big run in the beginning, had the big run at the end. Kamara looked fine. He looks like he's ready to go. Mike Thomas looked good. You know, I would say if the Saints played, if you eliminate the fumbles and the Saints play this game next week against the Falcons, I think they'd probably win.
Andrew, the thing, I thought they played, but like Dave said, you take away the fumbles, it was a pretty good performance. The one thing that's interesting to me is, man, the Saints, they were trying to get the ball. They were trying to, like, restart 2017 Willie Snead, and they just couldn't get it done. Like, he just couldn't get over. I know I was watching on TV, so I'm not 100% sure, but it seemed to me like Drew Brees was looking for him, and he just wasn't getting open.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to watch the game, so or rewatch it. So I mean, I was just there in the stadium, and the thing that stood out to me was there was two or three plays, just based on memory, that were clearly scripted. You know, in other words, they run a play, and Breeze's first read is Willie Snead, and he was completely bottled up, completely covered. Couple times, you know, he kind of had bubble coverage around him, a couple of defenders, and once, I mean, it was just being a man, and the guy was all over him. And so Breeze went to a check down, or he went to his next progression, and I mean, it just wasn't a good sign, you know, because to me, like you said, it seemed like they were trying to get him the ball, trying to get him more involved, and it just wasn't happening.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Dave.
He did make a nice catch on that one play.
Yeah,
I'll give him that.
But Dave, if Willie Snead, let's assume that my thing is if he couldn't get going against the Jets and like when if he couldn't get going this week when they tried to feed him the ball and it's week 15, like it ain't happening for him. His season is lost. It's just not going to happen. So, assuming that
until Ted Ginn comes back. I think it's still his job. You know, I mean, who's going to take his place?
Well, it doesn't matter if they keep playing him, he's just not going to get open. Like,
well, that's true,
but I mean, so like, how concerned are you with this offense now that you can, like, if I'm correct and you can just write off Snead as not contributing in 2017, and assume Ginn?
I think that's correct.
Assume Ginn is back. How worried are you about the? The passing game and third down conversions, which were terrible again.
I mean, I was ready to write. I already written off Snead, actually.
I think that's fair.
I think that this was, now he wasn't, he didn't really get too many opportunities up till yesterday, you know, on Sunday. But I think this game is just proves it that, you know, it's just probably not going to happen, at least not this season.
Something's up with him physically. Yeah. I don't know if it's the hamstring or just, you know, he got fat from time injured or whatever, but he's not the same player. And, you know, I'm not ready to give up on him. I mean, Vaccaro had a very bad second year. But I think he's going to need to put a lot of time in this offseason to get himself right physically and get his confidence back, because he's just not performing at his level. But, you know, I think, like, just going back to the comment about the game and the takeaways, I mean, honestly, I think, yeah, you'd be surprised how much the fans' view of the game trickles down to the players. You know, they're looking at the same stats. They're looking at the same standings. You know, they're watching the tape more than we are, but I just think at the end of the day, the Jets come in here, the Saints know they're supposed to beat them. They're up 10-0 early in the game, and they feel like they have it in the bag.
And it was 17-7, they had the ball, they drive down, if they score and make it 24-7, it's probably a cakewalk.
I mean, and I don't think we can discount how much human nature that, like, when you think you've got it in the bag and you're playing football, you kind of go into autopilot and you lose a little bit of your physical edge because you're trying to preserve yourself.
And Bryce Petty. You know,
I don't think the Saints ever felt like Bryce Petty was capable of hurting them or beating them.
He made one throw that was an NFL quarterback caliber throw.
I will give him credit. He was getting the ball out quickly. I mean, he made quick progressions. They did a good job of,
some of those throws, there was nobody even in the area. I mean, it was like,
he's like, I'm going to get rid of the ball quick, even if I'm throwing to nobody.
I mean, which to me are a bad team that I've got to give their coaching staff a lot of credit, because when bad teams show up like this in a situation like this and the Saints need this win, you know, there's a lot of times where you'll just see teams like that lay down. And I thought they came in with a good game plan. That drive where they scored a touchdown down 10-0, they ran on every play.
Seven straight.
I think it was one of those things like, I'm not going to make Bryce Petty throw the ball. I'm not going to get in this game where we're throwing every play because we're down a couple scores and we're giving you opportunities to sack and get turnovers. We're not going to do it. We're going to run every play. And I thought the discipline that they showed to do that and run the ball physically and have success doing it against the Saints, I thought it was a great game plan. So first of all, like, I thought it was a very professional effort from the Jets to come in. So you got to give them credit for that. I mean, they're an NFL team, you know.
And they had a lot of teams that rolled over yesterday. Like, I can count about four.
And the Jets were not one of them. Yeah.
The Texans,
give them credit for
Bengals.
That.
Yeah.
You know, I also think, look, the Saints – I think sometimes when you get up to an easy lead, you think you're going to coast. And I think the Saints were guilty of that. And I also think, look, man, they're looking ahead to the Falcons. They're so pissed. They're so raw about what happened last Thursday. And the minute they got up 10-0, you know it was in their heads. They're like, all right, we got this in the bag. Let's start thinking about Atlanta. Let's preserve ourselves. And you know, I think over the course of a game, you ebb and flow. You go through these emotions of like, oh shit, we could actually lose this game. We need to start playing now. And you go through these emotions of like, I can't wait to play Atlanta and kick their ass.
Well, you know? And you know what? That's why I actually take away a positive from that. You know, you mentioned, you know, they kind of probably didn't play their hardest and all that kind of stuff against the Jets, and I feel like in recent years past, the Saints would have lost this game. They would have played against an inferior opponent that they know they should beat, and they would have let the other team get ahead of them, and they wouldn't keep fighting. But you know, this year, this season, I thought they did a good job. They kept. I mean, they led the entire game. I mean, it's not like the Jets tied it up or even took a lead at any point. So even though the Saints kind of, you know, were maybe looking forward to next week against the Falcons, they still didn't lose the game, which in years past I think they would have done. They were professional enough and they're talented enough that they can ease off the gas a little bit and still win games.
Dick around. I will say that
I think the fan, like the fan sentiment that's just like so down on the Saints offense.
Oh my God. We needed to get into that, but I want to,
Ralph, your initial question to me was whether I'm worried or not. And I mean, I never got to answer the question, but I mean, no, I'm not. You've still got Ingram. You've still got Kamara. You've still got Mike Thomas. You still have Brees. I mean, you still have all your playmakers.
Yep.
You know, they're not as deep maybe as they were back in the day. You know, they don't have a Lance Moore or a Devery Henderson or something like that. They kind of just have the playmakers, but they get it done with that core group of guys. And I mean, you know, the Saints offense, they've been known to lay an egg from time to time. There's absolutely no reason that we can't believe that on any given Sunday or Monday or Saturday night or whatever, the Saints offense can't come out and just blow any defense out of the water.
Look, the bottom line is
They don't do it as consistently now, maybe as they used to.
That's right.
Well, I mean,
they traded away Jimmy Graham. They traded away Brandon Cooks. This isn't 2009. This isn't 2011. This isn't the Saints offense we're used to. We're spoiled to have watched over the last decade the greatest run of offensive football in NFL history. And we're spoiled.
The difference between this Saints offense and all the other ones we've seen is they are below average on third down because they're like 18th in the league.
Yeah, and you know what, Ralph? They put up over 400 yards of offense. They scored 31 points while still turning the ball over three times.
Yeah,
three turnovers.
People emailed me and on Twitter were like, what's wrong with the offense? It's broken. I'm like, I love a broken offense that scores 31 with three turnovers.
Like, yeah, and 400 plus yards of offense. Like, I think we need to accept the reality that this isn't the number one offense anymore. It's top five or it's six or it's seven. I mean, whatever metric you want to use, if you want to say, if you weigh third down conversion percentage more heavily and you say, oh, well, that dings them, whatever. Like, they're still a top 10 offense. But, and again, I go back to Jimmy Graham getting traded, and they used that first-round pick to take a linebacker in. Brandon Cooks getting traded. Now they take a tackle, granted. But there has been a focus on, hey, let's unload some of these terrific playmakers we have, and let's pool our resources and our focus towards defense. And, you know, it's finally they've started to hit on some of these draft picks and these free agents. Defense has gotten better, and they're a more balanced team. So this is a different team. Like, if you go into these games expecting 2009, 2011 Saints, then you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, and I think...
And that's just lazy. That's not who they are anymore.
Yeah,
but guess what? At the end of the day, look at their record. They're 10-4. The formula they have is a winning recipe, and that should make you excited.
Yeah, if they... The thing is, if the Saints do their thing... They're in the playoffs, they'll be fine. And doing their thing is running the ball, getting manageable third downs, even though they struggle more at the manageable third downs than you think. If they run the ball, if they go in a playoff game and they run for 150 yards and they don't turn the ball over, they're probably fucking winning, even on the road. The thing is that you just have to, like you said, it's just different. But here's my worry, Dave, is that, man, that offensive line, I forget what they called it when I watched the Ken Burns Vietnam documentary, but they had a word for like a point where the United States had a theory that like if we kill enough of the North Vietnamese troops, eventually they won't be able to replace them and we'll win the war. I forget the word they used, but I feel like the Saints are kind of getting to that point on the offensive line where they've lost so many dudes. Like, we're at the point where like the offensive line may take a giant step backwards if they don't have their two guards against Atlanta. Is that a concern, Dave?
Yeah, I would say out of anything, going into this game against the Falcons and just moving forward for the rest of the season into the playoffs is definitely the offensive line.
That guy concussion by Warford looked bad. He looked like he didn't know where he was.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good news is it's just the concussion. So, you know, once he's cleared and once he gets better and healthy, then he can come back.
Knowing what we know now about CTE, there's no such thing as just a concussion.
You sound like me when I was 15. It's like, Bobby Ebert, he's got three concussions. He'll be good. That's better than a knee.
I'm compared.
That's how I was when I was 15, though, man. I was like, it's only a concussion. That's the good injury.
Well, I mean, hey, look, these guys have made this decision to play this game, and there's no way that they don't know the risk. So, but anyway, I mean, it's definitely concerning. You know, fortunately, Breeze, he gets the ball out pretty quickly. You know, that helps, but I mean, they need to get healthy. I mean, Andrews Pete has been dressed and ready to go. I think Peyton had mentioned in his post game press conference.
He played.
Yeah, I mean, he goes, but he's so. I mean, I think he can. He's going to get thrown in there, obviously, and go full time compared to, you know, just some a certain percentage of the snaps. So we'll see. Hopefully Warford will be back in a couple of weeks.
Well, it's been a weird year because I feel like, you know, obviously Streif has been the one guy that had,
Can Streif come back or is he on IR? No, he had surgery.
Okay. He's done. But Streif was the one guy that went on IR, but everyone else, you know, whether it's been Armstead, Calamete, Warford, and Pete, they've all like kind of gotten nicks, you know, so they haven't had these season ending injuries or even these injuries where they've been out a long period of time. They've just kind of gotten banged up and they come back and, you know, I would throw Warford's concussion. I mean, I hope it's not a situation like Fleener where he's done. You know, assuming he comes back in a week or two, you know, it's just, it's like in a constant state of shuffle, but like, it's not like we can't get all these guys back eventually. So hopefully for the playoffs, we'll have all of them. But I mean,
you know, every offensive line at this point in the season, I'm sure has to be a little banged up. And, you know, the Saints have been making it work pretty much all season with the rotation of a bunch of different guys. So,
yeah,
it's really not much different than it has been all for the rest of the season. So.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, and like you say, you know, if Pete's back, then even if Warford's out, they can slide in Calamete. They've never been on the offensive line. I don't think they've ever been down more than two guys at once, you know?
Right.
They've never had to play like Calamete and Larabee, you know, and Larabee. Right. You know,
well, until this game.
Until this game.
Past game.
The thing is, though, with the injuries, you know, on defense, you know, they were, I know it's just the Jets, but they were missing Klein again and, This defense, you know, it was to the point where I was totally confident that they were not, like, the Jets weren't doing anything. The one thing that was a little concerning, I felt like for about a quarter and a half, Andrew, like, the Jets were whipping the Saints up front. And it, you know, like you talked about the one drive. How much do you think are we starting to see the Okafor being gone, sort of that starting to take effect against the run a little bit? Because it looked
like
they got a little like the, for the first time in a long and maybe in a long time this season, I felt like they got whipped up front. Even when the Rams beat them, I didn't feel like the Rams whipped them up front. I felt like for a little bit, not the whole game, obviously, but just for a little stretch, I was like, man, the Jets are moving their ass back.
Well, it was really that one drive.
Yeah.
It was their only touchdown until, you know, late in the game. But it was that one drive where I think they ran like seven plays in a row. And, you know, obviously, they end up scoring. You know, I just think the Saints were up 10, and I think they felt like they were going to see more passes. And again, give the Jets credit. I mean, they were fully committed, but it was weird, man. I mean, just watching it from the stands, the Jets were clear about what they were going to do. I mean, there was 10 guys on the line of scrimmage and one receiver. I mean, they were fully packed in. The Saints were basically playing a 9-man box, and it was all just about filling your gaps.
Andrew, I have breaking news. They have a trash call in the Tampa game. A pass interference on Mike Evans that took away a touchdown. It's a trash call. But anyway, continue.
Are you kidding me? This is what was it a legitimate call?
No, it was a trash.
He pushed off.
Oh, light push off.
A little bit.
But you know,
it's basically what Julio Jones does every time.
Yeah, and also with this defense, man, they, you know, Robertson, as far as, like, gets crap from the – like, that dude gets more crap from the fans, and he's good. Like, he's a good NFL linebacker. Or maybe he's perfectly fine to start on your team if you have good players around him. Is that fair?
Yes.
You know, he had an interception. He had some tackles. Dave, the thing is, we're done with the Jets. I want to talk about Atlanta, and I'm thinking, like,
Falcons hate week.
I think this is a top five, because I'm assuming Atlanta's going to win this game today. They're up 17-7.
Clearly.
I think this is...
Although it's the Falcons, so I don't think you can count your chickens before they hatch.
I think Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl.
Never forget 23, always and forever. But I feel like this Saints game, this Saints-Atlanta game in the Dome on Christmas Eve, I feel like it might be a top five biggest Saints home game during the regular season of all time.
It's up there. I'm pretty amped.
I mean, Andrew, can you think of the Rams game in 83.
The Rams game.
In 83 when they needed to win the playoffs, they didn't. The New Year's Eve game when they played the Rams in 90 when they needed to win to go to the playoffs to get to 8-8. That was big.
The Vikings home game.
What's that?
The Vikings home game against Dante Culpepper.
That was a huge one. The Carolina game that same year. That was the collapse in December. Let's see. What else do we have? What other home games? Maybe the Rams game, the final game of 2000. If they'd have won, they'd have got a bye.
That's right.
So that's five. The New England game, Monday night, 2009. That was a huge game. People were super amped. But that's about it, right? I can't think of any like bigger games. And I definitely, Dave, I don't know about you, I haven't been this excited to go to a Saints game since the NFC Championship. Like, this to me, I'm more excited about this game than I was for the Detroit playoff game.
Are you going, Ralph?
Yeah, I'm going.
All right, assuming it's not pouring, I'll be with my son, but we should meet at Champion Square.
Flying in at 6:30, flying out at 6:30.
Nice.
But Dave, I mean, is this – when was the last time you were this excited for a Saints home game? And I don't count 2014 when the Saints and Atlanta played for first place, when the 5-8 Atlanta played 6-8 Saints or whatever the fuck it was. And that
for a regular season game?
Yeah, for a regular season game.
There was another time recently where, was it 2013 when we played Atlanta?
That was
to beat them like six times in a row.
2014, they both played for first place and the Saints lost, but that was the year Carolina won the division at 7-8-1. So it wasn't like they were good.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
The last highly anticipated regular season game.
I guess 2013, the season opener, when they played Atlanta at home, maybe.
I don't know. I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Andrew, can you think of one?
No, I think, like you said, top five. I mean, I think that's a totally fair statement.
You know, I mean, the thing is with the Saints in Atlanta, we hate them and they hate us. But for the 50 years the Saints have been in existence and the 50-whatever Atlanta's been in existence, most of the time they've both sucked for the entirety of their history. And when one of us is good, the other one's not so good. We've only had, like, short windows where both teams were really good. So, you know... that's why this game is so interesting. But you know,
and the thing is too, like, just looking at the playoff picture, and the Rams, and make no mistake, the Vikings, Rams, and Eagles, all three of those teams are excellent, and I would put them ahead of the Saints in terms of their odds of doing well in the postseason.
Oh, by the way, the Rams beat the brakes off of
Seattle. But you look at all those teams, and
with Foles, do you like the Eagles?
We're not talking about the Patriots, you know. We're not talking about Joe Montana's Niners in their prime. So, like, I think anything could happen with these playoffs. And I really think
NFC
the Saints
is chaos, man.
The Saints could be one and done. The Saints could still miss the playoffs. I mean, that's something that could happen. They could be one and done, or they could go to the Super Bowl. Like, all of those scenarios are in play. That's what makes it so exciting.
I could see a scenario where, like, the Saints are like the sixth seed and go to Carolina or Atlanta, or God forbid, and are one and done. I can also see a scenario where the Saints are the four seed and are hosting the NFC Championship. Like, it's all over the place, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, because the thing is, I think Carolina's really good, but the team that can whip their ass is the Saints. But Carolina versus anybody else in the NFC, I really like them. Like, if Carolina would get the sixth seed, let's say, I think they could go to L.A. and win. I think they could go to Philly and win and then play the Saints in the NFC Championship, and the Saints would beat them by 2 touchdowns. Like, I just think that whatever Sean Payton does against – he just coaches the pants off of Ron Rivera. Maybe that'll change for a third time, but that's just how it goes. But, Dave, it feels like the Saints played Atlanta like 5 years ago, but it was only like how many days ago? I don't know. 17 or so, right?
Yeah, if that.
I
guess you're right.
When you look at that game, forgetting the shitty referee that was an ex-Falcon player.
I mean, how could you even forget that? Like, how could that even be a premise, Ralph?
Well, I mean, you just have to – I say you just have to put it aside. What about
now,
the –
how am I supposed to do that?
Well, I'm just saying, like, what in the actual game that Atlanta did has to change for the Saints to win? Like, not – I mean, I know, look, they can't have 9 penalties. They can't get fucked over. They can't, you know, lose Kamara first series. But, like, what about that game do you look at and be like, the Saints have to do this better to win? What is – Dave, what are you thinking of that when you think of that Atlanta game? What did you think of after the game? What did you think? God, the Saints need to do this better to win the next time they play Atlanta.
You said it. Why can't I give that –
You can
answer. Why can't I say?
You can.
Why can't I say? Kamara not getting knocked out in the first drive, not taking stupid penalties or being called for stupid penalties that maybe really weren't penalties.
They should have won despite all that stuff.
So you're saying there's nothing there? You don't look at anything in that game, and it's like the Saints just need to do X better. They just need to not have a dozen penalties and whatnot.
I mean, they were clearly the better team.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the thing that was interesting, I thought the pass rush versus Atlanta, Andrew, was better than it was against the Jets. I thought for the first time in probably 3 or 4 games versus Matt Ryan, Kika only sacked him the once, but I felt like they had him shook.
No, it was George Johnson that had the sack.
I thought it was Kika, but you know what I'm saying? I thought for the first time in a long time they had Matt Ryan shook. Like, he was definitely. Yeah.
He took some hits. He seemed uncomfortable. I mean, his picks were terrible.
Oh, dude.
Now, the banjo pick was a total fluke thing, but the other two were just
horrific.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
But, I mean, do you...
I mean, those are Billy Joe Tolliver picks.
Yeah. So what do you think of... I mean, when you look at this game, Andrew, do you think it's just clean it up? I mean, that's kind of what... I'll be interested. I guess my point is, I'll be interested to see, because Atlanta only had to deal with Kamara for one series, and they kind of had no answer, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I know, if you look at Devontae Freeman's stats, they actually weren't that good. I think he had like 3.8 or 3.6 per carry in that game, but there was a couple of drives where I thought he kind of gashed the Saints. So, I mean, if there's one thing I would say I'm nervous about, especially after the Jets just had a drive where they ran every play successfully. I would say, you know, run support and has to be better. So I would like to see them do a better job against the run. Mm-hmm. I don't think Klein's going to be ready to play this game, so him not being there, you know, maybe makes it more significant too. But yeah, at the end of the day, they're in the dome. They're going to have crowd support. They're going to have Kamara.
It better be
bedlam. For a full game, hopefully.
Bedlam. There'll be no empty seats Sunday, right? Even though it's Christmas Eve and all that, yada, yada, yada. Like, it's gonna
I
be
mean, the game's in New Orleans, so, like, I'm going to be pissed if the refs are terribly one-sided.
Dave, it's going to be it's got to be bedlam Sunday, right? It's got to be. It's got to be.
I mean, normally I'd be concerned. It being a Christmas Eve game, I would definitely be concerned about the crowd, but I think because it's the Falcons and this game is pretty much the entire season, all
everybody's
wrapped up into one.
Everybody's doubling down.
I think you're right. I think it'll
Church
be.
Church is out the window.
Midnight Mass.
Well, no, I'm still going.
Midnight
I'm going
Mass. You go to Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve. You just.
Yeah.
I'm going to 4 o'clock Mass, so hopefully the game is.
Wrapped up
early, put out of reach.
You'll go late if you have to, right?
No, I would be in so much trouble.
So you're going to have to leave if it goes to overtime?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen.
That was a good pun, by the way.
here's the thing. Andrew, I think three teams in the NFC South are going to make the playoffs because I think I don't think Seattle's getting a 10 win. Dallas and Detroit may get to 10 wins and get left out. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I still don't think Atlanta's very good.
Yeah, I mean, they have some weaknesses for sure. I think every NFC team does, though.
Yeah.
Just going to the playoffs.
But I just look at Atlanta, and their offense isn't as dominant as it was. And
it's just wide open, man. It's wide open.
Couldn't Dan Quinn, shouldn't his defense be better in year three? I feel like, you know, like that's his thing. And their defense is still kind of trash. You know? Is my hatred of the Falcons clouding my judgment about them, Dave?
They've been playing pretty good football lately. They weren't that good at the beginning of the season, but they've found a rhythm. I think they're playing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, before we get to game predictions, before we get to game predictions and Twitter questions, Andrew, who do you think will be the six teams in the NFC playoffs?
Well, Vikings, Eagles, Rams, of course. Those are your top three. Eagles 1, Vikings 2, Rams 3. I think the Saints will hold on and win the division. So I think they'll be the fourth seed. And wild card, yeah. I mean, Atlanta's going to win tonight. I think it's going to be the Panthers in Atlanta.
If you assume the Saints are going to beat Atlanta,
I think the Lions and Cowboys are out.
You think Atlanta is going to win tonight to get to 9, and they're going to beat Carolina to close to get to 10?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So Atlanta would be 6.
Yep.
So it would be. Yep. So
and
it would
the Saints would host. No. So the Saints would host Carolina.
Yeah, Dave. Do you agree with that assessment?
I could see it happening. That would be wild. 3 NFC South teams making the playoffs. Obviously, Eagles, Vikings, Rams. I'll say the Saints. That's 4.
Tampa back in it. Touchdown.
Touchdown. Tampa. It's not
Mike
over.
Mike Evans.
Yes. Yeah.
Brian, maybe Mike Evans is better than Michael Thomas.
I don't think so.
Listen, if the Bucks win this game, I'm willing to concede that Michael Thomas is a top 40 receiver at best.
If Mike Evans can score twice more, you win, Brian.
Basically, Brian will get me to say whatever he wants if Tampa wins this game.
So Dave, who do you have in the playoffs?
Okay, so that's your 4 division winners: the Eagles, the Saints, the Rams, the Vikings. I'd say Carolina from our division, and then I think it could be you could pick whoever you want: the Cowboys or the Lions. It could be one of those guys.
I think it's going to be the Lions. I think Carolina. I mean, I think Atlanta's going to lose the last two and get to 9-7.
Right.
And I don't think Dallas is going to get to 9 and a 10. And I think,
Dallas and Detroit both need to win out, right?
But Detroit, they have Cincy who's quit, and Green Bay may say, look, we're not playing Aaron Rodgers the last game because it's pointless. Mm-hmm. So then they get the backup quarterback for Green Bay. The question I don't know is if Dallas, Atlanta, and Detroit all end up 10-6, how does it go? I don't know how that – and Detroit would be really interesting because I don't think they're that good, but Matt Stafford and Cam Newton both scare the shit out of me. Like, I feel like those are two quarterbacks that can just – they can just light you up. Even though the Saints defense has been really good this year – or much better this year and all that. Like, those two guys scare the shit out of me. I don't know why that is, but that's what I feel. I feel like – Andrew, let me ask you this. If you had to pick Carolina or Atlanta, who do you want?
Carolina.
You want Carolina. Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I know Cam Newton scares people and they have a great defense, but I don't think you can discount. I've never believed. I think the silliest thing that you ever hear out there is the narrative that it's really hard to beat a team three times in a season. It's really hard to play a team three times in a season, first of all, because if you sweep them, that's already two losses.
Yeah, they also say it's hard
to
beat.
The odds of them making the playoffs are not very good. So, like, and then you actually have to, like, line up with them in terms of seeding to play them in the playoffs. So it's really hard to play a team three times. And if you do, my money's on the team that won both times, not the team that lost both times. Sorry.
Dave.
So, like, I don't buy into that at all.
Dave, Atlanta or Carolina?
What he said.
All right, we got Twitter questions. Jason asks, Andrew, with Adrian Peterson on IR, does this affect the round of the pick from Arizona or rescind it altogether? Dude, no one knows what that pick is. The Saints are getting a pick, but even Nick Underhill couldn't get to the bottom of, like, what the pick is. So, like, it's going to be, like, a surprise. I guess they'll announce it after the year or something. I don't know.
Surprise first round draft pick.
Well, no, I think we knew it was a sixth round pick. It was just conditional.
Yeah, I guess if he would have gone.
Meaning, like, if he didn't. They never said what it was based on. My assumption is that it's based on snaps, games played. And I'm assuming that, I mean, he had a pretty good season, so I'm assuming he met that. So
my
guess is they'll get a sixth round pick.
Ryan asks, no way Ted Ginn is back next year, right? Ted Ginn is going to be back next year. I don't think.
I think there's very little likelihood that he wouldn't be back.
They pay. He's like on a 3-year, $11 million deal. And I don't think Ted Ginn's been bad at all. Like, you know, I don't necessarily think. I think you might draft a guy or sign a guy and bump Ted Ginn down so he's like your third or fourth guy. But they're going to have him back. Let's see.
Yeah. They need to bolster the receiving core, not make it worse.
Yeah. Let's see. Dave, it feels as if the pass rush has fallen off a cliff since Okafor's injury. Any hope the Saints can get more production from the D-line other than Cam?
I mean, I think the pass rush and the run stopping has certainly taken a hit since Okafor has been gone. You know, that's what's going to happen when you lose one of your best linebackers. You know, I don't know what the secret to getting the pass rush back is. This game against the Jets, again, like we've said before, I think that I don't think everybody was really giving it their all. So I wouldn't base it on this last Sunday's performance by any means.
This is an interesting question from Preston, too, Andrew. If the Saints had to re-sign some guys this offseason, Michael Thomas, Craig Robertson, Ken Crawley, how much would they get on the open market? I'm going to tell you, you probably guys are going to both laugh at me. Ken Crawley, if he was a free agent, he'd get $9 million a year. He'd get $45 million. He would, because teams would look at him and say, he played really good for the Saints. He's got size, speed. We like him. He can play. He's got everything we want. Dude, teams have paid more for corners that have done less. Is that, Andrew, am I being ridiculous?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think Crawley has played well enough this year that if he was a free agent, he's getting $5 million a year at least.
AJ Bouye for the Houston had
Lattimore
one good.
Lattimore would get $120 million.
The cornerback for the Texans last year, Bouye, he got $60 million. He had one good year for the Texans. One.
Yeah.
Now, granted,
it was a really good year. Is Crawley really that far behind him?
No, I'm just saying teams go nuts for corners. I think Crawley, $45 million would be the floor, which is just insane.
Is Lattimore still in the discussion for defensive rookie of the year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The stat padding interception. In fact, I was at the game with my cousin, and the stat padding interception on the last play of the game. I looked at him and I said, "Man, that is huge for his resume."
At the end of the year,
when we looked at his year and we're going to say that pick, you know, got him defensive rookie of the year.
I think people, the voters are smarter now. I think actually the one that's kind of in danger is Kamara, because I think if Kansas City wins that division and Hunt has a couple, he had a huge game Saturday. If he has another huge game, I really think it becomes like a coin flip between him and Kamara.
He disappeared for the whole middle of the season.
I'm just, but Dave, it's the end. It's recency bias, though. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, like, that's what voters think. Like, if, like, he went for 120 against the Chargers, if he goes for 120 this week and they clinch, and Kamara goes for 75 and a score, dude, you got to sack Matt Ryan. Jesus, Matt Ryan is running free. It's like four Tampa guys missed him. Sorry.
I mean, Matt Ryan, Bucks are making Matt Ryan look like Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah. Let's see. Reggie with a fucking bat. I asked people to describe this week in five words.
Oh, yeah. Reggie retired.
Yeah. We got to. We'll have to do a drunk history on Reggie. But real quick, I want to say about Reggie Bush, knowing everything how it went and even all the other players in the 2006 draft, I would totally do that again. Like, the Saints needed him. I know he's the one that made the waiting list for the season tickets. Drew Brees sustained it, but that waiting list was created because they drafted Reggie Bush second. Don't kid yourself about that. Is Dave, is my theory that I just throw out, is that crazy, you think, or no?
No, I might have been one of those people. I bought my season tickets, I want to say, like May or June of 2006.
I mean, I know they lost the game. What was it, in 2007 or 8 versus Minnesota on Monday night, where he ran the two punts back and he nearly had a third? That's one of the great, like, I don't know if you call it, like, Andrew, would you call it, like, single game performances or, like, moment performances? But that's up there as, like, holy shit, this is unbelievable.
Well, sorry, which one?
The Monday night drafting. Game. The Monday night game versus Minnesota is one of the all-time great.
When he ran back the punt?
He ran back two and he almost ran a third.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the hype just of drafting him, you know, when the Saints were able to acquire him, and when Mario Williams got picked and it was clear that he was going to fall to the Saints and we were actually going to get him. Like, just the excitement. I remember
people called me like we won the lottery.
Yeah, and so I remember the NFL Network turning like a Saints draft watching party, and you hear everyone going, Reggie, and it carried all the way over to every time he was about to return a punt. And the whole stadium, I mean, yeah, I was at a lot of those games, and just the stadium chanting his name as he was about to return a punt, and half the time, you know, he would put his arms up and kind of hype the crowd before the snap. And there was just something about the hype. Did he live up to it? No. I don't know that he ever fully became the player. I mean, he didn't have as good of a career with the Saints as Mark Ingram. You know, they were both Heisman Trophy winners, and I think Ingram maybe lived up to the hype a little bit more now looking back. But, you know, he was electric, man, and there were a lot of times where he made some crazy plays.
You know, and he was real. You know, I mean, we talk about Pierre Thomas being awesome in the 2009 playoffs, and look,
with Bush, he's more of like a sentimental morale thing.
Yeah, but he was.
I'll always thank him for
but
that.
But he was great in the 2009 playoffs. He was. I mean, I know they scored 55 against Arizona, and he had the fumble against Minnesota, which was bad. But he scored the touchdown that either tied the game. He either put him up 28-21 or tied the game at 28. I forget. You know, so he was really good. I mean,
no doubt.
I mean, granted, they picked him second and paid him $50 million, and he never was what he was at USC. But I don't know if anybody could live up to what he was at USC, where he was like a video game, you know? Dave.
God, I remember those highlights. Those were ridiculous.
We were so excited.
I remember when everybody knew the day before that the Saints were picking him, that Friday at work at the Orange County Register, I just watched like YouTube highlights of Reggie for like 2 hours, like set to rap music. It was just fun. It was fun. Like, you felt like we got Breeze, we got Reggie. Like, the Saints might not be good, but they're going to be interesting, you know. And that it really did turn the corner. So Dave, Saints Falcons. Saints are a 5.5-point favorite. And oh, by the way, if you're a degenerate gambler like I used to be, in Vegas, the Saints are the second-ranked team according to the power rankings in Vegas, if anybody's interested in that sort of thing. So the Saints are 5.
Really?
Yeah, they're number 2.
Behind who? The Steelers or the Patriots?
Behind the Patriots. So Vegas really likes them. So Dave, the Saints are a 5.5-point favorite this week. Who you got?
Well, you know who I got. I got them boys in the black and gold. It's going to be a close one. It's certainly, unfortunately, I think it's not going to be a runaway victory for the Saints like I'm hoping, so I can get out of there and make sure I get to Mass on time and don't get a divorce. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be another close one. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be more low scoring than we're expecting. So I'm going to say it's going to be 21-17 Saints, which doesn't cover the spread.
It doesn't. And who's the hero of the game?
And it's going to be somebody. I'm going to say it's going to be Ken Crawley. He's going to have an interception, a big interception.
We can have another infographic from Pro Football Focus about how he can shut down Julio. That would be that would be delightful. I'd love my mentions
That's right.
to fill up with that. Andrew, who you got?
I don't know what it is about the Falcons, but Michael Thomas always plays well against
them.
He
does, man.
He had two terrific games last year. He played well on Thursday night. So, and he seems to have – he seems on a hot streak. So he's my MVP. And, you know, listen, this might be the sashimi talking that I had at Shogun tonight for dinner on Vets. But I'm going to say Saints 57,
oh
Falcons
my God.
2.
Oh, my God.
Blowout. This is going to be like the Rams game against the Seahawks, you know, where everyone kind of expects a close game. It's a division thing, and everyone's like, oh, this is a great one to watch. And it's just going to be one of those where everyone expects one thing, and then, you know, the people that aren't watching the game are going to see a scoreboard and they're going to say, whoa, the Saints are up 47-0 in the third quarter. What happened?
The biggest Saints win over Atlanta is 42-0 in 1987, by the way.
That record is going to be broken. It's going to be a bloodbath.
I'm going to say Saints 35, Falcons 21. And I don't know if you can call him MVP or hero, but I see some really nice things in the Saints return game from Tommy Lee. He's going to break a punt to seal it and run back.
Well, that's a bold prediction.
Yeah. He's going to, I see the Saints, with Wise Cough, like the old man with the cigarette and the Jack Daniels on the sideline. Like, I think I see improvement in the return game. I think he's going to bust one, and it's going to be 35-21 Saints, and Tommy Lee's going to get all the headlines and fun.
Tommy Lee deserves a little love. I mean, he's a pretty good return man. He's shown some things.
Yeah, I mean, is that crazy? I see, like, improvements with the return game. I mean, I know he ran the one back where they had, like, 900 flags, but
the return game is the best it's looked in
years.
It's not saying much.
It's almost average.
Yeah. Almost, not quite though.
No, almost. So yeah, I'm going to say Saints 35-21. Tommy Lee is your hero. And
we just all picked the Saints to win. We know how that goes.
Well, we picked the Saints to all win last week. I mean, I don't.
Did we?
We all picked them to win.
I was the only one that picked the Saints to win last time they picked the Falcons.
Yeah, I did. Jesus
Christ.
And
guess who was right?
Yeah.
Me, baby.
God.
Me.
So.
Thanks, refs.
Thanks.
I wish they would freaking throw Julio Jones.
Just, I wish Matt Ryan would stop scrambling for first downs. But anyway, people.
Is that the guy that plays for the Falcons that has less receiving touchdowns than Michael Thomas this year?
It is. And Matt Ryan was short
checking.
That marker.
Not very good for my fantasy team.
So, So, hey, people, remember to donate for Drunk Saints History Season 2. You're going to want it. We have so many good topics to talk about next week. And you're going to want that during the off-season doldrums when you need stuff to listen to at work. You're going to want the extra one a month. So, donate now. So, for Dave, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed. Merry Christmas, everybody!